if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What you're saying there, and I think it was more or less along the same thoughts that I'd had, which was that be very, very careful about what you change and how you change it. Yeah, you can reskin the website, you can, you know, which basically means changing its appearance without changing the content, if you like. So, you know, if it was laid out like this before, then it's going to be laid out like that now. If it was these colors before, it's going to be changed to these colors now, maybe. You know, subtle things you can do just to freshen it up and change it and give it a bit more white space, maybe, or remove, make things easier to find.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of David vs. David, the podcast for the small and medium business owner, where David Council, my co-host, and myself, David Pritchard, we look at, examine, and discuss various aspects of advertising, marketing, using the internet, email lists, and so on, to help you overcome all the little issues and obstacles facing you on a day-to-day business to help you expand your business and move forward and get to a better place further down the line. So my name's David Pritchard here in the UK, and as ever in sunny Hobart, Tasmania, it's David Council. How are you doing, David?
I'm good, mate. Another great week to be alive.
Always. I like those weeks.
Yeah, given the alternative, it's a massively good week to be alive.
Yeah, indeed. I once saw a piece of graffiti and on that one, and it said, the first 3 days of life are the most dangerous. And somebody had written underneath, and the last three aren't too good either.
That's very clever.
But hey-ho. So, what have we got for us this week, David?
Well, Q&A. Quanda.
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 Yes, indeed. So,
actually, in Australia, there is a television show called Quanda, Q&A. Mm-hmm. And it's a political talk show. But whenever there's an episode on, people get on and live tweet it, and they do hashtag Quanda.
Right.
And it is somewhat of a battle to try and get your tweet to come up on that little, you know, pull through that runs across the bottom. Do they? I'm sure they do a similar thing in the UK, but what do they call it?
I've got absolutely no idea. I've not seen anything like that. It's probably one of those things I look at on the guide and think, I don't know what that is, I'll leave it. So it's a bit like the shopping channels and stuff like that. They're not my thing, I'm afraid. So, I kind of, yeah.
Well, I've had to stop watching shows like that because I get too wound up and become that mad guy yelling at the television as the politicians sit there and just lie their way through the entire episode.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, not my thing. I'm quite specific over what I watch and don't tend to watch an awful lot, but what I do like is good. Anyway, yeah, Quanda then. So our version of it, which is the Q&A sessions. We do these occasionally because the content we put out each week, that tends to lead to a few queries that get dropped into us occasionally. And sometimes they're sort of very short and sweet and simple, and we can't really make much use of them for a Q&A session. But occasionally we get stuff that we think, that's going to be quite an interesting one to have a chat about. So something that arose the other week was I was talking to a customer of mine. Now, we've talked about email lists quite often in the past, and recently, in fact, I think I was mentioning that I'd had a website, my first website, where I didn't bother to build an email list. And, big slap on the wrist for me because the site had lots of visitors and I wish I'd done it. But anyway, turned into a bit of a rant about, you really must try and generate an email list of subscribers, because despite all the diversions, all the new options for engagement and that kind of thing, such as Facebook and Twitter and all sorts of ways that you can engage with customers, a good old email newsletter and a good old email list is still one of the most effective ways that you can engage with your customers and help drive your business. So the person I was talking to that listen to this. You know, we have obviously as well as hundreds of people that listen to our podcast that we don't know particularly well, but thank you very much for listening. We obviously have some people, clients and customers and even friends who listen to these episodes as well. And this one was a client and she said, I'd like to build an email list, but I don't quite know what I can give them. And anyway, we got chatting. Now, she runs a well-being and sort of meditation and mindfulness practice. She helps people focus on what they do and clarify things in their mind and sort of more mindful about what they do for their both the way that they eat, the way that they live their life, stop getting stressed about things cluttering up their life and all this sort of thing. And I said, you've got the basis for a good newsletter here. You've got a good thing that you can send out to people. She publishes quite a lot of content on her website through the version, through a blog. So it's got regular content going out, by which I mean sometimes daily content, sometimes every other day, certainly three or four times a week anyway, publishing blog posts and that kind of thing. So, well, you know, one thing you can do, maybe not everybody comes to your website every day to see what your latest blog post is. And not everybody is aware of this thing called RSS feeds. And she said, what's an RSS feed? And I said, well, there you go. So, you know, I mean, obviously people in the know, those three little, that little orange box with three little squiggly curved white lines emanating out of them, that's the thing called an RSS feed. And you hit that, you can, if you're into RSS and you've got a subscriber, feeder, blah, 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 you can get updates whenever one occurs. However, the general masses of the public aren't necessarily au fait with that. So you can communicate with them. You can give people a reason to sign up to your newsletter, you know, like this blog post, enter your name and email address here and get a weekly update. And you know, people like that. Sometimes people haven't got the time to go into your website every day. Maybe they'll forget. Maybe you'll start to lose them as they don't return for the second day, don't return for a third day. They found something else, they lost interest a little bit, and yeah, interest wanes, and then say goodbye to them as a regular viewer, regular, you know, visitor, regular person to your site and potential customer. So yes, you know, you can get people to sign up and then automatically, either whenever you publish a blog post, it would email them to say, hey, there's a new web blog post at this site, or you can save it up and send them a summary once a week or every five posts or whatever parameter you put on it. These services such as Aweber and MailChimp and so on that manage your email list and allow you to send out newsletters, that's the way you can run with that. And that's a very neat way of keeping your website, keeping your business, keeping your online presence in front of your potential subscribers, your potential clients and so on. So once they'd sort of seen that potential way of engaging with their customers, now that then led on to other thoughts. I said, you know, yeah, you can send out these newsletters. If you have something, an event coming up, for example, as well, then obviously you can send them out. Everybody that's subscribed to you, you can send out an email to them to say, hey, we're going to be at this event, or hey, we're going to be running this event in 4 weeks' time. Contact us for more details and so on. You know, those are one-off emails, but you can also send out these regular newsletter emails, and whether you construct something yourself as a newsletter or whether you say automatically publish a, hey, we've got some new blog posts here, come and look at the site again to maintain that engagement, that's one way of doing it. Now, I said the other thing that these services provide is something called an autoresponder, and that is where when somebody signs up for your list, you can put them into a sequence of emails. Now, that really got her thinking, because she'd had comments from people saying it would be nice to get a daily thought for the day, if you like, something to keep them focused on this well-being, this what are you going to be doing for dietary stuff today, what's your focus on work going to be, it's the weekend, what's your focus on the day ahead going to be, you know, are you going to be overcoming obstacles with kids and you know, life getting in the way of life, really. And I said, well, what you can do is that, you know, once somebody signs up like this, you can start sending them a a daily email, just a short couple of lines maybe or whatever, and they thought that was absolutely fantastic. This was going to be something that they could really use to not just maintain engagement with their clients and potential clients, but actually to provide a service. And whether that service is going to be a freebie service or whether they're actually going to take it down a line of segmenting it so that you offer a free service either for so long or a really simple service where, you know, maybe somebody gets two or three lines in an email every day for free. And then there's an option to upgrade to a paid service where you get more content, you get a more in-depth, you get a more thoughtful, more content basis to actually add some greater value that people are willing to pay for. And that really got them thinking, I'll have so many people that I know don't particularly want to pay for stuff on an ongoing basis. They just want to come to something once every 3 months, a course that they run, and happy to pay £100 every 3 months to go on a nice course and get benefit from that. But in the meantime, they just want daily emails that are going to cost them nothing. And then there's other people that, are willing to pay more as well. So, they may pay 10 or 20 or £30 a month, a pound a day for their expanded thought for the day and so on. So all this stuff became possible, and suddenly their business opportunities for what they do, and it's a small blog, it's a sideline business, but suddenly it's got business groundings, it's got extra things that they can do. So they're really excited about that. And then all this sort of content, suddenly you're sort of starting to think, I said, well, can you give people another reason to sign up? We give them an ebook about what you do. And that got, well, I've got all this content, with a little bit of twisting and rewriting and editing and so on, this can become the basis of either a free giveaway ebook to get people to sign up and add value to my business, or actually a book that you could sell for, $5.99 or $9.99 or whatever. All just started building and building and building. So this little simple conversation about how can I use email effectively, how can I use this kind of email service that you were talking about in your podcast, has suddenly developed into taking their business, adding three or four extra legs to it, and methods of engagement and so on and so on. I know we've banged on about it before, but as a question, it was a really, they thought, an innocuous little question to start with, and didn't quite realise the power and the expanse of an answer that came up behind it and where it led and where it's probably going to take their business over the next 3 or 4 months. So, one simple little cue, one rather involved answer, one little involved A in response. But it does just show the power of email marketing and what you can do with email and why you should be doing it. So there you go, David. In typical David versus David Q&A style, where we've got three or four Qs here, we've taken half the episode with one of them.
Well, I'm just going to add a little supplementary layer on top of that, because that's a good sort of case study testimonial on how you can expand out an idea. But if she's listening and she's got a pen and paper ready, write these down, because this is the framework to hang off those little thoughts for the day that will allow you to turn those thoughts into transactions. Mm-hmm. And in a yoga business, she might be a bit sort of mung beans, peace and love.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And not, wanting to do that. But, if it's a business, even if it's a side business, it is about taking someone from being a prospect to being a customer. Mm-hmm. So what I would like to see in those emails that go out is identify the problem. Each communication, you need to have a problem that you're talking about that person who's reading it, listening to it, touching it, would be experiencing. Then the next step is aggravate the problem. So show how that could be really annoying the person, and detrimental to their chi, their life. Mm-hmm. Then I want you to solve the problem. So that's the demonstration of how you can do something and how it ties back to the business. Proof. You want proof of how you've done this before, or other people have experienced this and they've done that, and that's led to this solution. Mm-hmm. And then the final step is call to action. Mm-hmm. Now, I think you mentioned in there about holding a course. Mm-hmm. Well, if they've held a course and then as a complimentary service to that, going to that course, they get these emails each day.
Yeah.
And your alternative is, obviously, you can buy the emails each day and not go to the course, but you would make it so that it's financially advantageous to go to the course, because that's where you're going to really build loyalty into your customer. So what you want to be doing with all of these daily posts is targeting them so that you're feeding them through to taking part in the course.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, you don't need to smash them over the head. It can be quite subtle.
Oh, absolutely.
But if your goal is the course, then you feed them to the course. If your goal is subscription, then you wouldn't be giving them all of that. You wouldn't give them the solution part, for example,
right.
in the daily email. You would leave that part out and you would say, you know, to get the solution, then you need to do this. You know, every day we do this for people. We help them solve these problems. Do this, we'll solve your problem.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part that then becomes part of your aggravation process rather than your solution and proof. But, you know, that if that's what her goal is, but anybody who's doing any sort of marketing, that's a very simple formula to follow to bring people on board. So there you go. That's a 15-minute yep. answer to one question.
I know this one. We've got the next question, and I know this one is going to take up the rest of the show. So here we go.
We'll go for it. I've just had a drink to wet my throat again, so off we go.
Okay. Again, another customer of mine, they were talking to me. They have a website, and it's a small local business, and they... The website serves them pretty well. You know, they're really happy. They get thousands of visitors a month through the website. It's a physical business, so it helps people find out what the telephone number is. It helps them find out more about what's on offer at the business. But ultimately, people have to go to the business to purchase the goods and the services and so on. It's been working really well for probably about 5 years now. Maybe a bit less, but 4 or 5 years anyway. And their website hasn't really changed much in that 5 years. And they had a chat with me, said, you know, we've got this website done a few years ago by this guy, and it's great. We get thousands of visitors a month. It serves us really well, but it looks so out of date. We'd like a new website. And it's like, right, okay, we want to change the content. We want to change the, you know, what it says. We want to change the look. We want to remove some pages. There's too much clutter on there now because it's grown over time. It needs a bit of a cull, really. So that's great. I said, you just want to be really careful before you get anybody, whether it's me or anybody else, to touch this and make sure that, you know, you're not cutting off your nose to spite your face. You're not going to lose those thousands of visitors that you get every month just to end up something that looks really slick and contemporary and marvellous and gets absolutely no SEO benefit whatsoever because you've lost everything. So, you know, basically they want a fresh new design, but they're scared of losing what the benefits they have at the moment. So advice if that was you, David.
Well, I think you've actually touched on a lot of those points there because ask yourself first up, why are you doing this? Are you doing this for you, or are you doing this to better serve your customers? I understand if the website's a bit sort of, you know, old and farty and doesn't look as good, then why would you not just reskin it? Maybe reskinning's not an option. Maybe it's sitting on, you know, old infrastructure that can't be reskinned. That's a possibility. And there are things that you can do to redirect old pages to new pages so that you don't lose your, you know, your SEO power.
Mm-hmm.
But you're talking about fixing something that's not broken. Am I hearing that the right way?
That's what I was hearing. Yeah, absolutely.
To start with, I just wouldn't start, you know, with a clean slate and go again. I would make gradual changes to that site over a period of time just so that you can test and measure whether the changes that you're making are detrimental to that site.
Yeah.
Yeah, gee, you know, big alarm bells ringing all over the place because everything that you've just said says that the site is being changed because the owner of the site is bored with it, not that the consumers of the site aren't getting great value from it.
That's right. Now then, okay, I'm glad you said that. That's more or less what I was suggesting to them as well, and I referred them to an example. I had nothing to do with me at all, really, but a friend of mine wanted a new graphics company logo and that kind of thing. They wanted new business cards making, they wanted new letterheads and all this sort of stuff, and he said, yeah, it's like this logo, he says, we've had it for, you know, 25 years now, it looks, you know, what change?
Mm.
So anyway, I referred him to, I said, nothing to do with myself, I referred him to somebody I know that does graphics. And they looked at it and I said, you know what, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I said, why don't you like it? He says, well, everybody's right, you know, it's not changed for 25 years. And he said, well, that's great. What's wrong with that? Everybody knows what you are. You know, Coca-Cola haven't changed their logo for goodness knows how long. Rolls-Royce haven't changed their logo for ever. You know, it's like you see these logos and they're timeless. And he said, what you have here isn't really in need of any change at all. I mean, he was doing himself out of work here.
Yeah.
But what he said, you know, the only thing you could really do, you can do quite a lot subtly with graphics here. Leave the actual graphic of the logo alone and just change the typeface. You know, move the typeface to what would be maybe a bit more of a contemporary typeface, a bit cleaner. Get rid of some of the white space around your other stuff on like business cards and so on. Just lay it out a little bit differently. But what you basically got here is something that your existing customers are very familiar with, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. You know, you suddenly go changing stuff, you're going to end up like people say, well, where have they gone, sort of thing. You know, well, I don't recognize, you know, little things. You built up all this branding in your customer's mind of something that's perfectly good. And you're going to rip it away for no reason whatsoever. And anybody that knew that doesn't know you, well, you know, they're not tired of it because they've never seen it before. It's only you as the owner of the business that are tired with something that you see every day. And, you know, again, you're focusing on it being you, not your customers. So, you know, a little bit of a revamp of the layout of the letterheads and the business cards and so on. And the area on the website, you know, suggested that their website designer change a typeface and that kind of thing. And then we had that kind of conversation the other week about bad for advertising copy and so on. You know, and that includes your website, typefaces and fonts and that kind of thing. Just freshened it up, removed some of the clutter on the website was the suggestion. You know, make things stand out a little bit better. But that's all that needed to happen. It wasn't a major thing. It wasn't the we need to get our website rebuilt, we need to get a complete new corporate identity and so on. And you look at organisations that have done that in the past, certainly over here there's been a couple of examples of British Airways and British Telecom and people like that. I think even some of the political parties, you know, they've changed these kind of things and then sort of realised that they've lost their identity and they've gone back months or years later to more or less what they had in the first place. So they went through a very expensive, and in some cases, you know, we're talking tens of millions of pounds or dollars being spent on corporate rebranding for no benefit whatsoever, other than that somebody thought it was about time we had a change. They didn't work out why. They broke what was working, and they didn't need to. So going back to our question about the website here, yeah, absolutely, David. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. What you're saying there, and I think it was more or less along the same thoughts that I'd had, which was that be very, very careful about what you change and how you change it. Yeah, you can reskin the website. You can, you know, which basically means changing its appearance without changing the content, if you like. So, you know, if it was laid out like this before, then it's going to be laid out like that now. If it was these colours before, it's going to be changed to these colours now, maybe. You know, subtle things you can do just to freshen it up and change it and give it a bit more white space, maybe, or remove, make things easier to find.
You've got to remember that there's a psychology for laying out a web page so that the people that you're trying to attract get the message that you're trying to call them to action for. So you've got to be very careful, even when you're reskinning it, you know, and your content's all the same, because all of a sudden something that should be above the fold can end up below the fold, and the effectiveness of the page can just absolutely be shattered.
And that's a good point, because we're not just talking search engines here, we're talking about what happens when people actually get to the website. So, you know, stage one is be very wary about what happens regarding search engine. You don't want to lose that search traffic. But secondly, when that search traffic lands on your website, you don't want them to change what they're doing necessarily. I mean, you certainly want to split test it as you go along and see what's happening, you know, because if you're making changes that, let's say you're still getting, let's say 10,000 people a month coming to the website, and whereas before 6,000 of them got in contact with you, suddenly, you know, your changes mean that 2,000 of them are getting in contact with you. You know, you're doing something wrong and you want to go back to what you had before.
Yeah. Oh, and I should mention, just for those who don't know what above the fold is, that's a terminology that goes back to newspaper days when we were using larger format newspapers. Not the little sort of tabloidy ones that we've got now, even though you still fold them. And the newspaper was folded in half. So when you're reading it, you were only ever reading half a page at the time. So something that sat below the fold, you couldn't see. Well, the fold on a, when we talk about this in a website point of view, is the bottom of the screen. So everything that sits below the bottom of the screen that you can't see. And because most websites that are being made these days are, what do they call them? It's not dynamic, it's not reactive, it's...
Responsive.
Responsive, thank you. Late in the day. Then it's resizing for the screen that you're seeing it on. So it's not like on one screen it'll be above the fold and another screen it'll be below the fold. If it's below the fold, it's below the fold on every screen that you see. So make sure that you understand what needs to be above and what needs to be below. Is there text that's on the page that's really only there so that you can get enough keywords into it? That's the SEO side that David mentioned, but it's the psychology of what you're trying to get your buyer to do. Don't worry about the search engines first, worry about the buyer.
Yeah, good point. So what we're saying here, more than anything, is that when you're gonna go through this change, you wanna be thinking about split testing, is that right?
Yeah, well, split testing, and whether you're actually doing it for a practical reason or you're doing it for personal vanity reason. You know, I'm sick of looking at it, therefore it must change. And I think that this comes back to this friend of yours, a client of yours, has let his website go too long without making progressive changes along the way that are positive for the website and split testing it as he goes. So all of a sudden he finds himself in a situation where he wants to change everything. That's like
everything.
That's like, you know, turning 40 and buying a Porsche. He's having a web life crisis.
I'm going to market that one. Web life crisis. Excellent.
So, you know, don't have a web life crisis. You know, just keep making small changes along the way. Marketing is relationship. We've said this so many times. You know, so in a relationship, it's changing all of the time. You're changing, your spouse is changing, you're adapting. Because if you were still both the same people that you were when you met, seriously, something would have gone badly wrong by now. You know, if I was still the same person I was when I met my wife, I think she'd be in the nut house. Seriously? It's marketing, relationship. They are the same word. They're just spelt differently. Marketing is how dyslexic people spell relationship. No, that doesn't work either. Anyway, you know what I mean. Remarkably, mate, we have managed to get through an entire episode and hit an all-time record of answering two questions.
Two questions, yeah, okay. All right, well, apologies to listeners that were hoping for 10 Q&As in all this. We never, ever stand a chance of doing that. We normally do manage three, occasionally four. Hopefully these ones, though, have been enlightening. Both arisen from queries, from, you know, real-life examples of people that either listen to this episode or that we bump into and as part of our ongoing business activities. And, you know, sharing these issues, we hope, is going to be a benefit and of interest to you. If you've got any queries like it yourself, if you'd like any of these points expanding on, please do get in contact with us. We'd be happy to try and help. You can do that through our website, davidversusdavid.com, as ever, where you'll find this and every other episode that we've done beforehand. There's also our Facebook page, facebook.com/davidversusdavid. And good old iTunes, where you can leave us those glowing 5-star reviews that we'd love. So, yeah, anything else to add, David, before we wrap up and say goodbye to our listeners for another week?
Nope, that'll do me. I think that's been enough marketing information for any person to absorb in 1 week. Just remember, test and measure.
Absolutely, test and measure. Righty-ho, listeners, from us on opposite sides of the world, up here in the UK and down there in Australia. That was a bad Australian accent, wasn't it?
It's an Australian accent, sorry.
It slipped in there for half a second, yeah, sorry. Slap on the wrist, I'll go back to good old Blighty. Right then, over and out from me here in the UK. David, over and out from you, I guess.
Yep, goodbye, cobbers. See you next time, mate.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.